Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of our gathering here together with one another to study thy holy word. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray you to bless all my gatherings wherever they may be of the household of faith the world over. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray for wisdom to think on these things during this memorial season. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray thee to pour thy Holy Spirit upon each and every one of thy dear brethren, wherever they may be. And we pray thee to bless all the dear ones that are ill in their homes, going through trials and tribulations. We pray thee to bless them and comfort them. We pray thee, dear Heavenly Father, to open our hearts and minds and eyes of understanding, so that we may be able to do thy will better. By ourselves, we cannot do anything. That is the gift of God. We pray for courage and strength to carry on to the end of our course, so that we may be able to make our calling and election sure. We pray thee to sanctify all thy dear brethren everywhere, wherever they may be. Sanctify them, O Lord, through thy truth. Thy word is true. We pray for wisdom to work out our own salvation and make our calling and election sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray thee to bless us now as we listen to dear Brother Sunbaum's dear Brother Sunbaum's discourse. And we pray thee to pour thy Holy Spirit upon him as he delivers it. We ask it all in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
Memorial service will be held in our home this time. Some misunderstanding about getting this hall, and we tried other places, but that seemed to be the best we could do. So Tuesday night, this week, we'll have the memorial at our house at 7:30. Now, if anyone can't get there, let us know, and we'll be glad to arrange for transportation. Today our topic is Crucified with Christ, and the text is Galatians 2:20. The Apostle Paul is writing here. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We can see right away that Paul was not talking about literal crucifixion, because he said, I live. He continued to live. And so, actually, the thought of crucifixion and bearing the cross, it really pictures the trials endured by Christians in the doing of God's will. Trials endured by Christians in doing God's will. Our pastor, Brother Russell, tells us in one comment that it means to do the Father's will under unfavorable conditions. That is, conditions that are not easy. Now, sometimes doing God's will is not hard. It's quite pleasant. Perhaps most of the time it is pleasant. But there are other times when doing God's will is hard. It's not easy. And that is the time when you are bearing the cross. Trials endured by Christians in doing God's will. Now, when Jesus bore that literal cross in Calvary, it was a painful experience. We understand that they were very heavy. And, of course, the fact that then he was on the cross, all of that was a very hard experience. And it's a picture, we believe, of all the trials. Now, again, we remember that when Jesus told his followers that they would have to bear the cross, this was a long time before he actually carried the literal cross on the way to Calvary. So he is talking about symbolic cross. That is a picture. As we said, a picture of trials that we endure. Now, Jesus had said, if any man will follow me, Let him take up his cross and follow me. So he was already bearing his cross from the time of his baptism until he was actually on the literal cross. He was enduring the contradiction of sinners against himself. And every true Christian must bear this symbolic cross. This is a part of the Lord's arrangement. And there's a reason for it. It prepares us for our glorious future work. The bearing the cross is something that is necessary to qualify us for our future work. It gives us certain experiences that we just have to have, or we will not be ready or able to do the work that God has for us to do. We have to learn to obey God's commands. And we have to learn to obey His commands to do hard things, things that we don't like to do. And so that, you see, is bearing the cross. We read about Jesus that He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. So we see then how the bearing the cross actually prepares us for our glorious future work. We will have to tell the world, show the world how to obey God. They'll have to learn that. And unless we learn it ourselves, we're not going to be able to help others to learn. That's one thing that every teacher of anything, first of all, has to learn to do the thing himself before he can teach somebody else. So we can see that it has this thought that prepares us for our glorious future. And at the same time, it tests our loyalty. That is, are we going to continue this? Now we have the old saying, no cross, no crown. Well, that isn't in the Bible as such. Those words are not there. But it's true, very definitely, because Jesus tells us, whosoever will not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:27. So this saying is very true. No cross, no crown. Now, we have thus proved, you see, as long as we bear that cross, this cross of trials endured by Christians doing God's will, as long as we do that, we are loyal to God. And it proves to God that we will use this immortality that we will get in the right way. A condition of immortality is one in which death is impossible. Anybody that has immortality can't die. Even God can't put them out of existence, because the word immortality means a condition in which death is impossible. So God has to test us this side of the veil before He gives us immortality. Because after we get it, then we could use it wrong. That is, if we didn't prove our loyalty to Him. So that we have to prove to God that nothing can swerve us from doing God's will. It might be adversity. Now, adversity or trouble sometimes has swerved some from doing God's will. When things went wrong or went bad, some of them quit doing God's will. Then there are other people, prosperity has done the same thing for them. Some people became rich, and then they quit being loyal to God. You see, in one case, some failed, some didn't continue. Then there have been others who have been swerved from doing God's will by flattery, by people telling them how wonderful they were. These have been probably the preachers or somebody like that, or people that were flattered by their followers. They began to think that that really was so, instead of realizing that of themselves they could do nothing. Or false doctrine. That has swayed many from doing God's will. So you see, we have to be tested. Our loyalty has to be tested, so that no matter what conditions we come through, the Lord can see that when He gives us immortality, we're going to still be loyal to Him. Now, Paul said, none of these things move me. In other words, he was settled on a course, and he said nothing would move him. He was on the way to Jerusalem. Every place he went, they told him that now you're going down to Jerusalem, you're going to get into trouble, maybe you'll even be killed. But what did he say? None of those things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. So this shows us what we mean by testing our loyalty. Now, in this connection, I think it might be helpful to remember that God never asks too much. Once in a while, when we state the standard of God being high as it is, we might possibly get the idea that the Lord is just too much. But actually, that's not true. It tells us that he knows our frame. That is, he knows this earthen vessel of ours. He knows that we're dust. Now, that isn't very much when you think of something being made of dust. But that he knows that. So he does not expect too much from us. But he knows that if we're faithful in little things, we will also be faithful in much. You see, the Lord is watching. Now, in the matter of money, for instance, a person that, like that poor widow, she had very little, but she put it all in the Lord's work. And our Lord says she put in more than all of the others. Some of the others were rich men. They put their gifts in the treasury. But, as some brother pointed out, they didn't miss that at all. If you have $1 million and you give even 100,000, you still have plenty to live on, more than you can use all the rest of your life. But here was this widow, she put in everything that she had. So you see how the Lord can judge by your faithfulness in just a little. And if we're loyal at heart, while we have this frail earthen vessel, surely we will be loyal in the divine body under favorable conditions. In other words, if we are bearing the cross now, doing hard things, God knows that we will be loyal when conditions are favorable in the millennial age and when Satan is bound and eventually when he will be destroyed. So this is the point, you see, what we're trying to bring out about bearing the cross. It has two purposes. It prepares us and also tests our loyalty. Now we take up the cross when we consecrate, when we promise to do as Jesus did. But putting God's will first. Now that's what Jesus did. He put God's will first. Now after repenting for our past sins and believing in Christ as our Savior, we have a sort of a standing before God. I like to think of it as tentative justification. We just are in a position whereby we can have something to offer. We can offer a holy sacrifice, like Jesus, that is acceptable to God. God sees that we have accepted him, and we want to do his will. So when we consecrate, why, then, of course, we go on further. But actually, we don't take up the cross until we promise faithfully to do as Jesus did. Take up as cross. Now we're to count the cost, which Jesus told us. Now it doesn't mean we think so much that you're to say, well, the things of this world are just about equal with the divine things. We don't think it means that at all, because the things of this life are very temporary, to say the least. But what if we read the rest of that, count the cost, whether you have enough to finish your building. Now, we're all trying to build a Christian character, trying to build the gold, silver, precious stones, and we have those materials. We have the truths of God's Word and everything to finish our building. So when we count the cost, it's a question of finding out, convincing ourselves that we will have enough to finish the work that we start. We're told that in Philippians 4:19 that God will supply all of our needs, everything that you need to build this character. Well, when he tells us that, then we know we have enough to finish our building. We know that we can do it. And then, you see, we consecrate. Actually, at the beginning, all we supply is a willing mind. If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a person has, and not according to what he hath not. In other words, simply saying that all you have to do is to be willing. And when you're willing, then you're going to, of course, try to do his will. We are also told in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that we have the mind of Christ. Now, that's actually true because we have the same purpose that he has. Each one that has taken the cross, they want to do God's will, just the same as Jesus did. So we have that to start with, a willing mind. But we're also told that we should take up our cross daily. In other words, every day we have got to do God's will. Now you see, when we promise to do God's will, that's one thing. You promise to do something, but whether you're going to keep that promise is another thing. And that, you see, is what we mean by taking up the cross daily. Just like Paul did, when he found out, saw that miraculous heavenly vision, he asked the Lord, "What do you want me to do?" And we think Paul, no doubt, asked that question many times. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And then the Lord would show him through his word or some way or other. And now, that is the thing that we have to do. Keep doing, bearing the cross. Every time that God's will is hard, and we try to do it, then you see we take up our cross in that particular experience. I don't know whether I mentioned before, we've used this on the trip, and maybe you've heard it before, but when John Edgar, he was a brother that wrote the books on the pyramid, way back in 1910, that's when he died. And on his deathbed, his family were all consecrated. And he kept telling them over and over, "Daily renew your vow of consecration, and daily seek to fulfill it." And he repeated that over and over again, because he felt, no doubt, that that was good advice for his family who were also consecrated. So that's what Jesus did. We think that he always decided what God's will is. And that, you see, is taking up the cross daily. Now, as we pointed out, doing God's will is difficult. It's a time when you endure trials. And we thought we might illustrate that a little bit. Let us say now that doing our will is represented by this horizontal black line. That's what we prefer. That's what we actually did before we consecrated. And that's what we still prefer to do. We would rather do that. But when we consecrated, God's will is different. And so we picture that, you see, as a cross. Now, God's will is sometimes crosses out. Our will, our preference, is along this line, to live a normal life. God's will is sacrifice, to go down into death, just like Jesus did. Now we notice how our preference is crossed by God's will. Now the mind of Christ, which is represented by God's will, the vertical line, often crosses our preference. We would rather do a certain thing, but God's will is opposite, and it forms a cross. Perhaps you heard somebody say about some man that's important, "Don't ever cross him." Well, that means to oppose him, you see. So actually, we see how it is true that naturally and properly we'd like to live a normal life without any special trouble. But God's will is just crosses it. It becomes a sacrifice. That's why we think this illustration of the cross is pretty good. Now, so this we think then is true, what it means to bear the cross. Do God's will under unfavorable circumstances. Now this Jesus bore this cross, this symbolic cross, notice how in Gethsemane, how he was in a great conflict there. He was in a great trial. The scriptures tell us that he was in a great agony. And he prayed to the Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now this, you see, Jesus preferred to have that cup removed from him. But God's will crossed him. And he said, not my will, but thine be done. Three times he had that experience. Now, there was the conflict then, you see, between the desires of the flesh and the God's will. Now this, we don't think this meant that he was trying to get out of dying, because he knew all along that he came to die for the human race. But the thought seems to be that this particular kind of a death, the fact that he'd have to be crucified between two criminals, as a malefactor, as one that actually was a convict, one that did wrong when he didn't do anything wrong at all. That, you see, was apparently what formed the cross. Now, our pastor brings out this matter, we think, in a wonderful place, where he says in reprints 52:11, we all see that in our Lord Jesus, holy, harmless, undefiled, there was such a contrast. The earthly interest drawing one way, and the heavenly interest another way. These were all pure and perfect desires. Nevertheless, as a new creature, begotten of the Holy Spirit, he was obliged to overcome it. Now here you see was the normal perfect Jesus with normal perfect desires, and here was God's will represented by the new creature. The new creature is the determination to do God's will. So even Jesus had this conflict. And this, you see, is what we believe is important. And we think that all of his spirit-begotten life between the time of his consecration and when he finished his course on the cross was a battle. Battle, it was, he endured the contradiction of sinners, and all the time he was in conflict. Now, between the perfect human desires and the new creature which is spiritual, there was that conflict. Otherwise, why would he say, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me? That was the old nature, the perfect nature, saying what he would like to have happen, but God's will, you see, was opposite. And he overcame. Now it also tells us that he overcame. Sometimes it's hard, you know, for us to think because Jesus was perfect, and he didn't have any trouble at all. It was easy to do God's will. But you study this very carefully, you'll see that it wasn't easy for him to do God's will. Otherwise, why would he be in this garden in a great agony? And that's why he bore the cross, and he tells us to do the very same thing. Only our experiences will be different. We won't have that same experience he had, but it will be trials of one kind or another in enduring and doing God's will. That's what bearing the cross means. Each one has a different experience. But nevertheless, God's will is hard. Sometimes it's easy, but when it becomes hard, that's when you carry the cross. Your cross, not somebody else's, but the cross that you have. Each one has a different cross. Now Paul goes on to say, Christ lives in him. Now how could, here I should have brought that up before. This mind of Christ, which is the new creature doing God's will, actually crosses our old ways of thought and action. But Paul says, Christ lives in me. How does Christ live in us? Christ lives in us when we do as he himself would do if he were in our place. Just now, for instance, suppose you have an experience. And you can just picture our Lord being in that same position. What would he do? That's what you, way you figure that out. So, when we do just the way he wants us to do, we could say, just like Paul, Christ lives in me. Now, whenever we study to show ourselves approved unto God, to that extent, Christ is living in us. The mind of Christ, that's exactly his mind. Whenever we are doers of God's word, Christ is living in us. Does it just the same as we, only he, of course, would do it perfectly. But we try to do it. We try to help each other. That's just what Christ would have done here if he was in our place. And we try to let the light shine. And we try to comfort others. All of those things are things that our Lord would do if he was in our place. And therefore, we think that Paul meant just that. While he was crucified, he was bearing the cross. His own will was set aside doing God's will. At the same time, in doing God's will, Christ was living in him. Now, he lives in us then, so we say as much as we let him. I remember hearing about some brother was telling another one, the Lord bless you, starting on a trip, the second brother. And the first one said, the Lord bless you. But the brother says, well, he will if I let him. Well, now, in other words, that means if you try to do God's will, then he can do something. But if you don't, why, perhaps you're not letting him do it. So bearing the cross then means suffering with Christ. You can see that it means trials, and trials are suffering. Now, our Lord bore the cross continually, but he wasn't always on a literal cross, and he wasn't always in physical pain, or he wasn't always being persecuted. Now, we think this is very important, because there are some that get the idea that unless I actually get persecuted physically and are tortured or something of that kind, I'm not following Christ. But that is not the right thought. Maybe you remember or you heard about the Jehovah's Witnesses. They like to feel that they're enduring a lot of trouble, persecution. And we heard about one sister who finally realized that she was wrong. But she told us how that she boasted about being in jail 4 times in 1 day. And she thought that was suffering for Christ. But why? She did it in a way that just showed that she was doing this just for that purpose alone. She would actually make herself more or less obnoxious to people so that the police would come and arrest her. Well, now that is not suffering with Christ, even though at the time she thought it was. You see, the point is we're trying to bring out that in doing God's will at any time, when it's hard for us, that's bearing the cross. So let us not be discouraged that we aren't getting the hard experiences that perhaps people did in the old days. We're living in a different time. In Acts 9:31, we have the statement, after certain conditions, it says, then the church had rest. In other words, the particular persecutions, being put in jail and all that, were ended for a time. So what we're trying to say is that let's not get the idea, unless you have physical persecution, torture and things like that, that you aren't bearing the cross. The fact of the matter is that whenever you're doing God's will, which is represented in this vertical line, when you would rather do something else, that's bearing the cross. And every one of us can do that. Every one. It's helpful to notice the meaning of the word suffer in 2 Timothy 2:12. The usual thought of suffering is that you have to have physical pain or something of that kind. But actually, in this particular scripture, the word suffer means to stay under. Stay under God's will, and don't rise up and fight. Don't fight God's will. If God's will points out to you that a certain course for you that you don't like, don't fight that. Try to accept it and try to take it in the way, and then you see you will actually be staying under God's will, and you will bear the cross, as you should. The bearing the cross means bearing trials, trials of doing. It means to carry the cross, not run away from it, but try to do God's will. That isn't hard, is it, to try to do something? No matter what it is, you can try. That's all the Lord expects. To try sincerely. Don't give up. Now, this thought of staying under God's will reminds us of the real meaning of baptism. Baptism, we're told, that it means to be baptized into Christ's death. Romans 6:3. Water baptism is a picture of it. It's a picture when you show to others around that you have said in your heart, I'm going to do God's will. But the real immersion is the baptizing into death, Christ's death, and Christ's death was God's will that he die. See, that's what God's will for Jesus was, that he die serving, doing God's will. It's true that the new creature rises up to newness of life, but not the old creature. The old creature, the old way of living and thinking, has got to stay under God's will as long as we're here. It's true, the old creature will rise up once in a while and will make mistakes. We all, Paul tells us, that we can be overtaken in a fall. But we can go to the Lord after we recognize that, ask the Lord's forgiveness, and then we are restored back to the same favor that we had before. So actually this thought of suffering is to stay under. Now we know how it says, suffer it to be so now. That's what the Bible says. Today people don't use that word. It's very peculiar. We heard about a little girl that read that in the Bible, suffer it to be so now. And she says, that sounds goofy to me. Well, she just couldn't understand that use of the word suffer. But it simply means to allow it to be instead of rising up and fighting. So that's the real meaning of suffering. Now, God is long-suffering. Now, can you think of God being suffering? Well, it says so. It tells us in Romans 9:22-23 that he endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Well, who would those be? We think with the 23rd verse of Romans 9 that it helps us to understand this. We're pointing out now the long-suffering of God. Remember, that's the main point of what we're talking about. The long-suffering of God. So here in Romans 9:22, it shows that God was going to show his power. And it was the Jewish nation, we believe, that he was talking about in Romans 9:22. What if God, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Well, now, he did, scripture show us that the Jewish nation, not particularly the people, but the Jewish nation were continually giving him trouble. They were worshiping false gods. Once in a while they would come back to him. But then it wasn't very long before they built altars. They even went so far as to follow the heathen practice of sacrificing their children, causing them to be burned. All of that was very displeasing to God. He endured that with much long-suffering. The reason we say that it refers to the Jewish nation, because in the next verse, it's the next two verses, and that he might make known the riches of his glory and the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory, even us, that is, the Jews, the small remnant of Jews, and the Gentiles, even us whom he had called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So here you see the picture of God, enduring long suffering, 6,000 years of long suffering. We think if we suffer a little while, it's very bad. But when you think of our great Creator, long-suffering, enduring all of that. And he could have stopped it just like that. He could have ended it at any time. But why did he endure it? Because he knew that it was for the good of his creation. He knew that it would test and prove the ancient worthies before our Lord came. He knew that it would test and develop the little flock, that they would actually be made worthy of the divine nature. He knew the experience would be good for the world of mankind. So that when they have the blessings of the kingdom, they will look back over the time when all this evil was going on and would say, well, we never want that anymore. We had enough of all that evil way back there. So actually, you see, God is long-suffering for the good of others. And so we have to have suffering too, of the same type of suffering. Now, Jesus, we know, endured the contradiction of sinners. So actually then, to continue bearing this cross, that is to continue to endure the trials, is the most important thing that we have to do. This is something that we have to do this side of the veil. The other side of the veil, you won't have the cross to bear. Then you'll have the crown we saw on you. But this side of the veil, the most important thing is to take up that cross every day, try to do God's will, and if you need help, if you feel you need help, well, just ask the Lord, and He will give you the help you need. Now, in this connection of the meaning of suffering, just a few days ago, the manna of April 6th, our pastor points out that every ache or pain or wound of person or feelings and beheading socially or literally for the truth's sake is suffering with Christ. Now, when anybody tries to do God's will, whatever you endure in doing God's will, that is suffering with Christ. Now, when he says beheading socially or literally, beheading means, of course, to cut off the head. Now, when you are literally, there were some that their heads were cut off in serving the Lord, but there are others who have been beheaded socially. They are not well thought of. The people of the world don't like us. And so that's beheading socially. Now, all that, you see, is because we're trying to do God's will. What we're trying to specially point out is to remember that we are bearing the cross in trying to do God's will. And not to get the idea, well, I'm not bearing any cross, or I'm not having these experiences. Actually, you are having these experiences. Doing God's will is hard for you. And whenever that's true, you are bearing the cross. Because we hear brethren every so often say, well, the church isn't suffering like they used to, and the doors closed, and things like that. But actually, if you just think it over, your own experience, you are doing a lot of things that you'd rather not do, but you're doing it just because it's God's will. Now, so we have to expect this conflict. In Galatians 5:17, it says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Here's a picture right in this cross. The flesh goes this way. The spirit goes the other way. They form a cross. And therefore, because of that, you can't do what you'd like to do. Now, isn't that true? Every one of us feel that way. We feel at the end of a day's experience, well, I haven't done as good as I'd like to do. But remember that when you try, you are, that's all the Lord expects. There are many things in which God's will is difficult. Now, it means sometimes to take a wrong. In 1 Corinthians 6:7, Apostle Paul tells about some that would go to law with their brother, and even before unbelieving court. And then he says, why do you not rather take the wrong? That is, you have to endure some things sometimes that other people take advantage of you. You might say in a simple way, all of us in going to a market, we don't like to have somebody crowding ahead of us. Of course, that's just a little thing. But if you believe that you're to live like a Christian and you let somebody else get ahead of you, if they're determined to do it, well, it's a little thing, but you are actually doing that because you're trying to be like our Lord. So it means a lot of things like that. Then it means that we are to spend and be spent. 2 Corinthians 12:15. The Apostle Paul says he will very gladly spend and be spent for you, even though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. In other words, whether they appreciate it or not, he was going ahead spending and being spent. Now, this, you see, is the deeper meaning of the memorial service we have Tuesday night. The primary meaning is that Christ died for us. He is our justification. His sacrifice makes our sacrifice acceptable because we accept Him. But the deeper meaning is that we are to suffer with Him, that we are to lay down our lives and doing His will just like He did, bearing the cross. And in that way, you see, gradually we establish God's will as a rule of life. At first, we don't think so much about it, but as we keep day after day trying, gradually God's will becomes the rule of our life. Nevertheless, we're never going to do God's will perfectly this side of the veil. Every day we will require to come to the Lord and ask His forgiveness for something that we didn't do as much as good as we'd like to, or we failed to do, or perhaps some serious mistake. Now we're going to close with a poem that's very much along this line. It's called Transverse and Parallel. Parallel, instead of running along this way, one line with the other, it forms this cross. So here's this poem. My will, dear Lord, from thine doth run too oft a different way. 'Tis hard to say thy will be done in every darkened day. My heart longs still to do thy will and all thy word obey. My will sometime would gather flowers. Thine blights them in my hand. Mine reaches for life's sunny hours. Thine leads through shadow land. And many days go on in ways I cannot understand. Yet more and more, this truth does shine from failure and from loss. Now notice how you learn from your failure. Yet more and more, this truth does shine from failure and from loss. Now here's the cross. The will that runs transverse from thine doth thereby make its cross. Thine upright will cuts straight and still. See, that's God's upright will. Thy upright will cuts straight and still through pride and dream and dross. But if in parallel to thine, my will doth meekly run, all things in heaven and earth are mine. My will is crossed by none. Thou art in me, and I in thee. Thy will and mine are one. So, Tuesday night, at our place, we'll have the memorial, 7:30. Lord willing. I think we'll close with number... Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee now for this privilege of coming together and studying Thy precious word of truth. We thank Thee for this season of the year when we may commemorate our Lord's sacrifice and also our determination to lay down our lives in His service and sacrifice and to follow in His footsteps. We pray Thy blessing upon each of us as we endeavor to do this. We pray Thy blessing upon those of our number who are not with us, and especially ask Thy blessing upon the coming memorial service and upon Thy people everywhere, known and unknown to us. Now we ask that Thou would go with us to our various homes and keep us till we meet again. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.